Rabbi says this is Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi is Parsha is Kuloi Stuma, which means that it doesn't even start with any type of. Usually, every parsha from the between the parshas, there's a space. This parsha has no space. There's no space during the parsha, and it's Nistemuei Neim Shel Yisrael. Yitzoras Hashibud. Rashi brings down. Rashi says, "Lama parashas u'stuma v'vishe kiven shenifto Yaakov Avinu Nistemuei Neim Beliban Shel Yisrael Mitzoras Hashibud." Once Yaakov died, so then it was their eyes were ki'ilu closed. They were blind, and their hearts from the tzoras hashibud. So the question is that Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, "What is this?" So Yaakov's still alive over here. Vayechi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim, shvas reishana, and the pasuk speaks about that Yaakov gives brachas the entire parasha, close to the end. Yaakov Avinu was still. He was still present. So why over here already is it already a stuma? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because there was some sort of tviya over here on Klal Yisrael, which is that even though things were like so rosy and everything was great, and so one person can get complacent and be comfortable, and Klal Yisrael should have realized that the fact is we are on foreign soil. We are not where we're supposed to be. And even if everything is hunky-dory and everyone is treating us very well, but this is also a problem. This is not a permanent situation. And we have to realize that. And the moment that Klal Yisrael doesn't realize that is the moment that Klal Yisrael is sinking into the Shibud or into the Tzara of the Golus. That's when it happens. When Klal Yisrael begins to feel that the situation is good, it's good. You know, we're happy with the way it is, and that is why already over here where it says that you know, everyone was comfortable and Goshen was nice and was enjoyable and everyone was happy. That's a problem. A person has to feel like something is wrong and something is. It has to be changed. You have to feel that the situation is not permanent and is not a good one. One of the things that struck me the very first time I went to Poland, and you see the terrible amount of destruction, murder, annihilation, and anti-Semitism and all that stuff that happens, and it really smacks you in the face. One of the things that struck me was that one of the tour guides told us that, you know, this place, Poland, was really the jewel of Klal Yisrael. There was so many Yidden that were living there, that were thriving there, that they used to call it Polin. They didn't call it Poland. They called it Polin. And they called it Polin, and they made it into like an acronym, which means Polin, which is we'll live here. This is where we're going to live. Used to say that people were going to stay in Poland till Mashiach comes, because you know Poland was thriving Jewish community. There was yeshivas, there was shtetlach, there was rebbes, there was everything, and that was the beginning of the end. Once you start saying, you know, this is where it's going to be, this is where we're going to hang out, you know, people are establishing their roots. So then the shibud is. That's when the shibud begins. So it started already when Yaakov was alive. When Klal Yisrael was getting complacent and getting ki'ilu comfortable where they were, pasuk says, "Vayechi Yaakov eretz Mitzrayim shvas reishana." Yaakov lived 17 years in Mitzrayim. There's a fascinating medrash, Parshas Tzav. The medrash says that Rebbe, who is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, he lived in Tzipori for 17 years. This medrash is brought down, if I'm not mistaken, in the Sefer Or Gedal Yehu, and Rebbe sit on himself. Read the pasuk. Vayechi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim shvas reishana. So Rebbe said, Yaakov chai shvas reishana. Yehuda chai shvas reishana b'tzipori. Yaakov chai shvas reishana b'Mitzrayim. Yehuda chai shvas reishana b'tzipori. It's like interesting. Like what's going on exactly over here? And there's another interesting correlation between Yaakov and Yehuda. Or we're talking about Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, which is that we know Yaakov. It says about Yaakov Lomes. It's brought down that the only one of the Ovos HaKadoshim, the one that has free reign to come back to this world, is Yaakov Avinu, or the from Volbe. Yaakov is the one that's Lomes, Yisrael Saba. And the Gemara in Kesubis, and Daf Kuzayin Mabez, it's a somewhat famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Rebbe, every Shabbos, would be Moitzi his family in Kiddush. This was after Rebbe was already dead. He would come back and be Moitzi his family in Kiddush. So that means that Rebbe constantly came back to this earth, similarly to how Yaakov Avinu, Loimeis, and Yaakov comes back to this earth. So what's going on over here? What's the pshat? So I believe that Ovdayo says something along these lines. He says that what's the inyan of Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim? Why did Yaakov have to go down to Mitzrayim? Chi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvas Rishona is the pshat that Yaakov Avinu had to kind of like ingrain in Klal Yisrael the koyach of Torah in order for them to be soivel the gullus. Klal Yisrael is going to go through a very bitter gullus in Mitzrayim, so they need something there. They need a foundation. They need a bedrock in order for them to be able to get through that. How are we going to get through the gullus? Is only one way, and that is if Klal Yisrael has the Torah with them. So Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim in order to be able to be mashrish, to plant roots for Klal Yisrael, that they should be able to have the koyach haTorah, which is strong enough to be able to withstand all of the bitter gullus. Therefore, Yaakov was in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Rebbe was there, lived in the tekufa of gullus Edom. Klal Yisrael was about to be exiled by Edom, and it was going to be a bitter gullus. Rebbe understood that his job also right now was to do something that was unique, something that was revolutionary. Rebbe is the one that was mechaber the Mishnayis. Rebbe is the one that he was mashrish in Klal Yisrael. Also, this inyan of them being able to withstand the galus, so he gave them the Mishnayis, they should have that with them. So the reason why they're able to come back is because their hashba is still very, very real. It's very fresh. In other words, Yaakov Avinu went down and his hashba remained very fresh in Klal Yisrael through the entire Golus. Also, Rebbe's hashba was remained very fresh. Therefore, they're able to return even in their physical manifestation because that's what they did. Rebbe also is the one who was Mashrish Torah Shebaal Peh, and Yaakov Avinu is the one who's Mashrish Torah Shebichsav. Each one of them made this, planted this seed in Klal Yisrael. So the Pasuk says, Vayikru Yimei Yisrael Amos, the days of Yisrael came to die. Vayikru Levnoi LeYosef, and he called to his son to Yosef. Place your hand by my thigh. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. So, the Heilige Sefer, the Kedushas Levi, the Noam Elimelech, which is the Rabbi Elimelech Milizhensk. So he's Medaik, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Livnoi Yosef. It should say Vayikra Livnoi Yosef. Called to his son Yosef. Vayikra Livnoi Li Yosef. Why does it say the Lashon extra Lamed? Listen to this Pshat, says the Reb Noam Elimelech. This is the Pshat as follows. The Pasuk is being Meramez to something that's extremely important, which is as follows. That a person, there's two different Bechinas, the Bechina of Eved and the Bechina of Ben. The Bechina of Eved is someone that he makes sure to do whatever you tell him to do. He keeps the letter of the law. He's very careful to make sure not to be over, to transgress anything you tell him to do. That is a slave. That's an Eved. A Ben does more than that. A Ben, he's one who goes over and above out of his love for his father. A Ben is a Bechina of Ahava, and Eved is a Bechina of Yira. So he goes over and above. He adds to some of the things that he was told to do in order to develop his love and to express his love for his father. So that's what the pasuk is referring to. Vayikra Livnoi. He called to his set, to his son. A Ben is a Bechina of son. Li Yosef. To add on. The word Yosef means to add. He's telling you, if you want to have a Bechina of Ben, so you have to add on to the mitzvahs and do more and keep on adding on midas chasidus, and to add more to your avodas Hashem. That's Li Yosef, to add. But then he says, Sim no yodcha tachas yirechi, which means the following thing. Put your hand by my thigh, says the Noam Elimelech. He says, means as follows. You know, it's very nice, you're going to add mitzvahs, you're doing a lot of learning, you're doing a lot of Torah, you're doing a lot of chesed, tefillah, all that stuff. Your hand, though, your focus still has to be on Yerechi, which is on the Bris Milah. Bris Milah is a makom of taivas. A person has to make sure to keep his taivas in check. You're doing a lot of good things, a lot of extra mitzvahs, all that's great. Simna Yodcha, still have to place your focus, Tachas Yerechi, making sure that your taivas are in check. Al no sikbireini b'mitzrayim, I don't want you to be buried in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a makom of zima, is a makom of taiva. If a person doesn't get a hold of his taivas ki'ilu, doesn't put a focus, doesn't put a dogish, doesn't put an emphasis on getting a hold of his taivas, so all his mitzvahs and everything, they're all going to be buried in Mitzrayim, in the makom of taiva. That's what the pasuk says. So Yaakov continues, "V'shachavti emavoisai v'nasasani b'mitzrayim u'kvartani b'kvarosim." I will be buried with my fathers. Moshe Feinstein says a beautiful idea. He says in Drash Moshe that "shachavti emavoisai" means that when Yaakov gets buried, we're not just burying Yaakov; we're burying Yitzchak and Avram also. "Shachavti emavoisai," I will now bury, or I will now lay together with my fathers. What does that mean? Yaakov Avinu was part of a previous generation. There was an entire generation, and as long as Yaakov was there, the generation was still around. It was a generation of Avos. And Yaakov had Shaychus to Yitzchak and had Shaychus to Avram. And as long as Yaakov was there, it was like, you know, we could still, you know, we still Shaych to that entire generation. But once Yaakov dies, it's like Yitzchak and Avram also died. The entire generation is gone. We have no Shaychus to that whole generation anymore. Now we're in the generation of the Shvatim. And once the last of the Shvatim dies, it's like all of the Shvatim are gone. And the Rishonim, we lost that generation. And sometimes we have like a disconnect where we lose people. They were Shaykh to a previous generation. They were like Shaykh to something above, you know. We speak about Maron Rabbal Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Levracha. He was Shaykh to a different generation, to a whole different league. It's like we didn't just lose one person. We lost, you know, our connection to that dar. And that's something which is, Klal Yisrael felt a tremendous drop that happened at that moment when Yaakov Avinu passed away. And the pasuk says it's Vayomer LeYosef, Hinei Avicha Choyle. Yaakov is becoming sick, and he takes his two sons with him, Menashe and Ephraim. Veigel LeYaakov, Bincha Yosef Boilecha. So the pasuk says, "Hineni." That's later on. The pasuk says that Yisrael asks to give a bracha. Kochem no elai v'avorechem. I want to give a bracha to the two sons of Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe. The pasuk says v'ikach Yosef shneim as Ephraim b'minoi, small Yisrael as Menashe, b'small b'min Yisrael v'yagesh elav, and he brought them forward to Yaakov. Yaakov should give them a bracha, putting the Bechor by the right hand of Yaakov and the younger son by the left hand of Yaakov. But what happened? Ve'yishlach Yisrael es yeminoi. Yisrael took his right hand. Ve'yosef Moshe Ephraim v'atzoyer. He put his hand by Ephraim, which is the younger one. Ve'smoil arush Menashe sikel es yadav. He swapped his hand. Why? For success. Ki Menashe ha'bechor. So the obvious question is, why is it that he went like this? Why don't we just move the kids around? I mean, Yaakov was not a young man. He was about to die. So it was quite an effort for him to do this action. Why isn't that he didn't just go like this? So the Noam Elimelech, the Melech Melezhensk, he says the pshat is because he didn't want to embarrass Menashe by telling Menashe, okay, you know, we're going to move you over there. Rather, he left Menashe where he was and just swapped his hands, even though it took a tremendous amount of effort, but he figured that would be less of an embarrassment for Menashe. That's the pshat that Noam Elimelech says. However, if you look in the Sefer, Kilat Beis Yitzchok, he brings from Reb Chaim Volozhin, a beautiful pshat from Chaim Volozhin. I don't know if Chaim Volozhin says this pshat on the pasuk, or he just says it on the pasuk that says the following thing. The pasuk says, "Kemayim ponim el ponim ken leiv ha'adam la'adam." Kemayim Chaim Volozhin. Kemayim ponim el ponim ken leiv ha'adam la'adam. It's pasuk da'achsach mishle, which means like water, the reflection, kemayim, panim upanim, like the reflection a person sees in the water, ken leva adam l'adam, so should be the heart of a person to another person. What's Shlomo HaMelech saying over here? Chochem mikol adam. What's he saying? Kemayim panim upanim, ken leva adam l'adam. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, the pshat's like this. You know, when usually when you look at a person, it's an interesting phenomenon, is that when my right hand is facing your left hand, and my left hand is facing your right hand, my right side is on your left side, and my left side is on your right side. That's the way a person usually, when a person looks at someone, that's what he sees. And there is a reason, a symbolism in that phenomenon, which is that it's natural, it's normal for many people. When you look at someone else, you place your dugish on his weaknesses. Which is that when I see someone else, I usually try to size him up, and I say, "Hey, he's not so great. You know, look what he did." You know, like, because you want to like compare yourself to him. So you pace your dugish, your focus, your emphasis is on his weakness. Your right hand, which right represents your strength, is facing his left, because you're always focusing on, "Yeah, he's not so good. He's got this wrong. He's got that wrong. Yeah, he's not. You know, he's no better than me." Your left hand is focusing on his strengths. That's the normal phenomenon that happens with lots of people. Shlomo HaMelech is begging us to be different. Kemayim ponim el ponim. When a person sees his reflection in the water, when you see your reflection, if a person would raise his right hand to his reflection, it would touch to the left side, to the right side, keilu, to the right side. In other words, you raise your right hand, it touches to your right, your left hand to your left, and your reflections, right, you touch to the same side. So he says, "Kemayim ponim and ponim," like a person sees to himself, "Ken leva adam la adam." So too, a person should try to find other people's strengths, not focus on their weaknesses. And that's what Yaakovinu was saying. Yaakovinu didn't want to move the brothers; he wanted to move his hands, so his right reached across to the right side of Klal Yisrael, and his left reached across to the left. Because we should always be looking in Klal Yisrael for everyone else's strengths. Try to find what's good about them, not their weaknesses. And that's what the Pasuk tells us. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim, oyev yomim, what does the Pasuk say? Lirois toiv. Why don't we speak Lashon Hara? Because we're looking for the good in people. We have to be looking for good. We have to say, you know, look how great this, he's amazing, this guy's awesome. He has a few blemishes, okay, what do we, you know, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the good in everyone else. That's the chiyuv that we have. Klal Yisrael has to each other. That's one pshat that's brought down from Chaim Volozhin. It's brought down on the Sefer Beis Yitzchok, Kehilas Yitzchok. It's two svarim. They're very similar. It's one of those two. Akoponim, the Sefer Meir Einei Chachomim. Sefer Meir Einei Chachomim is written by a Rebbe. You know what his name is? The Ostrovtzer Rebbe. You remember him? Gewalt. Ostrovtzer Rebbe was a Gewalt. He was a Gewalt. When I was a Bocher, this was my favorite sefer, Meir Einei Chachom. He was such a gewalt. He was a goyin oilam. He was a brilliant, brilliant person. He never wrote any svarim. And they say he never wrote because his mind worked so fast, he could never put pen to paper because he always thought of something else. It was like, he couldn't write because he was mechadesh keseder. If you look through his svarim, he knew shas literally on his fingertips, literally. I mean, like Mamish Bali Guzma, he was a person who, he finished Shas every year from Purim to Pesach, 30 days, he finished Shas every year. And he was a very interesting person as a personality, just to give you a little bit of a background. He was the son of a baker. His father was a very pashut person. And Rebbes usually had very, you know, they had very pristine types of backgrounds. His background is very simple. His father was a baker, and actually his mother, when she was pregnant with her son, so she went to, I don't know which rabbi, I could look it up if you want to know, because the doctors told her that she's having a miscarriage, that the baby's not going to live. The doctors actually told her the baby's already dead, and therefore they have to do some sort of procedure to get the, you have a dead child in your stomach, it's not healthy, it's not good, it's a sakana. So she went to the Rebbe, and she asked the Rebbe, what should I do? The doctors say that my child's dead. So the Rebbe said, I don't want to talk to you, I want you to go and daven during psicha, and then we'll talk after davening. So she went, Dachzach, it was a tannis, if I'm not mistaken, it was mincha time. She went and she davened during psicha, and she felt the baby kick. And she came down to the Rebbe, she said, the baby's alive. So the Rebbe said, your baby is going to be a light for all of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the name of the Sefer is Meir Einei Chachomim, because he was a light for Klal Yisrael. The Ostrovts are going. The Ostrovts are going from when he got older, it was Makbet to always do Psicha. He did Psicha every time they opened as the Kilu, because Psicha is what gave him life. So he always did Psicha. Akopanim is a cute story they have about the Ostrovts are going, which was one time they were sitting around. You have to understand, he was somewhat of an intimidating type of persona, because he towered above everyone else. So there was once that there was a few Chassidish rabbis that were sitting around, and they said, let's all say over Torah from our father. And with the awareness that the Ostrovtzer Rebbe's father was a baker, he's not going to have much Torah to say from his father. So everyone's going around. They get to the Rebbe, what's he going to do? So he says, my father was a baker. And my father taught me one thing. Fresh bread is much better than old bread. So I don't have to tell you Torah for my father, I'm going to tell you Torah for myself. That's fresh bread. That's what he said. Akopanim. So he says, Avshad over here, listen to this. This is a Maradik Avshad. He had numerous different mahalchim. The Ashtar Tzagoyin has Azaderach HaMachshava. I'm going to tell you about now Machshava from Ashtar Tzagoyin. He has Pilpulim that were not Shayach. He made Cheshbonis. He makes Cheshbonis of everything. For example, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be up in Shemayim for 40 days? He makes a cheshbon. I took Moshe Rabbeinu exactly 40 days to learn Kol HaTorah Kula and to chazer it. About how many words there are in Kol HaTorah Kula, how long it was to learn, how long it takes to say the words. Mamish, and he makes a cheshbon nifla that was exactly 40 days and a few extra minutes, because it says that it took a few minutes more than 40 days. It's a cheshbon nifla. It's a cheshbon of why it was that that Yaakov Avinu didn't sleep the whole time he was in Shem Aver, so he had slept the night before, a few extra hours, and cheshbon. Gets a cheshbonis that are mamish lahafli. He brings a medrash. The medrash says that it fell 2,000 years worth of man every day for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Why 2,000 years worth of man? The cheshbonis are not normal. He brings, you see, he's shaylit on everything, like all at once. It's not like he could bring a medrash over here of how much food does a donkey carry and how much the people eat and how tall people are. That's the size of their head and how much tall they're going to be. Lost in love. It's mamish. It's unbelievable how his grasp of Kol HaTorah Kula. So he does cheshbonis, he does machshava, he does sometimes musar. I'm going to tell you a vart in machshava from Nostrav Tzegayin. He says like this. He says, Haflov afele. You know that there's 12 months of the year, and there's 12 shvatim. Yushalmi says that the 12 shvatim, each one is merumas in a different month of the year. So who is the month of Adar? Let's see if you can figure this out. Well, there's something special. I'll give you a hint. Something special about Adar, that Adar splits into two. There's an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis, as we will have this year. So who is the one, which of the Shvatim would you say is the month of Adar who splits into two? None other than Yosef, who splits into Menashe and Ephraim. Now, so Yosef is connected to the month of Adar. What's the mazel of the month of Adar? Does anyone know? Okay. Dogim. Ben Porat Yosef. Ben Porat Aleayin. Yosef is like the dogim, that he is underneath the water, can't be seen, and is not what? No, there's no ayin hara. That's Yosef HaTzadik, is the month of Adar. So Yosef is Adar, and there's an Adar Aleph, and there's an Adar Beis. So it says as follows: the Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni Ella Megillah Umatanas Lev Yoinim, which means that an Adar Aleph also, it's Aser and Hespen and Tainis. Adar Beis has Megillah and Tainis. So Adar Aleph, you can't do all the negative stuff. Adar Beis, you do the positive stuff. Adar Aleph, no Hespid, no Tainis. Adar Beis, you have Megillah and Matanas Lev Yoinim. So it says the Ostrovtzer Goyin, he says the following thing. He says, B'shem the Arizal, that Ephraim and Menashe, Menashe is Adar Rishon, Menashe is the Bechor is Adar Rishon, and Ephraim is Adar Sheni. Why? Adar Rishon, we'll call it Sur Meira, because Adar Rishon there's no Hespin or Tainis. Adar Sheni is Asei Toiv. Look at the names of Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe's name is Menashe, Kinishani Elokim. The Eretz Ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me from the land of my affliction. That's Asur Meira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, took me away from the dangers of the land that Yosef was kilu. Yosef was he was a slave, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. That is Asur Meira. And what's Ephraim? Hifrani Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made me be parua, made me peru revu, it made me multiply, made me successful. That's Asei Toif. So therefore, Menashe is Sur Meira, Ephraim is Asei Toif. Those are the two. Who comes first, Sur Meira or Asei Toif? Sur Meira always comes first, right? The Pasuk says, Sur Meira v'Asei Toif. Therefore, the Bechor is who? Menashe. And Ephraim comes afterwards. Kinishani Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving me, Sur Meira. Hifrani, Ephraim is Asei Toif. That's the order it's supposed to be in. Therefore, that's the Bechor, and he's the second one. Now, what's going on with Yaakov? Yaakov says like this. Yaakov puts Ephraim before Menashe. Why is he doing that? Why is Yaakov putting Ephraim before Menashe? So says the Ashtrav Tzuglein, unbelievable pshat. He says, Yaakov Avinu is right now, Bikesh Lagalas is a case. He's looking all the way at the end of time. Yaakov Avinu is not living in the present. He's living all the way in the future. He's living in the time when Klal Yisrael is going to get out of this Galus. And he sees at that time Klal Yisrael is having a certain weakness of resolve. And when you're weak, it's very hard for a person to engage in Sur Meira before he has any Asei Toiv. It's very hard. You know why? Because we have vices. We call them even addictions. We have things that we enjoy them. They're pleasures. Yeah, they're very bad for us. But if you ask me to kind of like pull myself away from these things, I'm going to feel so empty. It's so hard. I need first a substitute. First, you have to give me something else that I can enjoy that will replace whatever I was getting out of my ra. So Yaakov said, look, I know you're really supposed to do Sur Meira before Asei Toif. Why? Because your Tov is going to be tinged if you first you have to cleanse yourself, Sur Meira, and then do Asei Toif. But it's not going to work. La said, Lovoy, Klal Yisrael is going to have to do things, you know, a little bit differently. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu switched his hands. Said, first we're going to do Asei Toif. We're going to try to get a gishmak out of our mitzvahs, out of our Torah, Buddhist Hashem, and then we could try to like let go of some of the things that are really doing damage to our neshama. So first it's Asei Toif, then it's Sur Meira. That's the order. Yosef Atzadik, Yosef, who is a tzadik, doesn't understand why that's out of order. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You have to be strong. You're a tzadik. He's a tzadik Yisrael Elam. He was clean. Yosef, he's saying that's not the way. It's first Sur Meira, Asei Toif. You're doing it wrong. And Yaakov says that you're right. The right way to do it is the way you're saying. But sometimes you have to go out of order. So he didn't switch Ephraim and Menashe around. He switched his arms around. Because now there's going to be a time to do things out of order. That's what he says. As we've heard before, Uri Zohar spoke once. Spoke a few times. It's so fascinating to hear him speak. If you remind me, I basically will try to get him to speak again. Uri Zohar was the most popular person in all of entertainment in Israel. The most popular. He was like, you know, the most famous talk show host, the most famous actor, the most famous director. He was all of them wrapped in one. Imagine you have a famous actor, a famous talk. There's a talk show host named Larry King. He's very, very famous. There's a director named Woody Allen. Very, very famous. There's an actor. Those two are Jewish. I don't know any Jewish actors, but there's got to be a famous thing. He was all of them packed in one. He was like everything. He was like the icon in Israel. Mamish, like he was the man. Uri Zohar became frum. And not only become frum, but he bought the rights to all of his movies. You can't get a movie from Uri Zohar nowadays because he bought all the rights to the movies. He spent all of his money. He now lives in a teeny, teeny little apartment. He had to sell his apartment that he lived next to Rabbi Ellinger to a smaller apartment. He lives in a teeny, teeny little apartment, and all day he's trying to be Makar Yidden. He lives mamish. You know, we don't even know what poor means. That's the way he lives. This is a man who was living in these huge house. I saw once his house, like on the beach. You know, mamish living the life. So Uri Zohar, when he spoke, he told us the following thing. He said, you know, it all started, I don't know, I don't remember exactly. He tells the story. It started with a chassid. He got into an argument with a chassid. And believe it or not, he felt like he lost. He like made fun of the chassid. They always make fun of you, you know. And then he walked away. But it was really like nagging him in his head, what the chassid said. I don't think he ever found that chassid again. It was nagging him. And till finally, like, kept on nagging him and nagging him to the point where he changed his entire life. Uri Zohar became pro. But in the process, it was a very big struggle. Here he is. He's living it up. Mamish, this is a guy living it up. I don't think there was a more famous person, you know, and he had tons and tons of money and everything that he could possibly want. And now he's going to have to give all this up. So he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to give me as much simcha in my learning as I had in my other lifestyle. I'm begging you. And he says, and he got it. He loves it. He loves to learn. He loves to sit there. He says, I'm happier now than I ever was before. You know, he sits this over his shirt. If I understand correctly, not sure, but I think he sleeps on the floor. I don't think he has a mattress, no bed. And he's a happy person. He loves his life. And, you know, technically, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to make it sweet. But we have certain weaknesses. So first we have to try to find a geshmak in davening, a geshmak in learning. And then hopefully we could also slowly do our best to rid ourselves of whatever vices that we have. Pasuk says that what's the bracha that he gives? Here's the bracha. Pasuk says,
"Becha yivarech Yisrael leimar." In you, Klal Yisrael will give brachas, saying, "Yisimcha Elokim."
Which means that Klal Yisrael will for eternity be giving this bracha. Right? Na 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 na. That will happen forever. This is the bracha. The question is, why is this the bracha? Why is this the bracha that always... Why Ephraim Menashe? We don't even know. We don't know that much about Ephraim Menashe. I mean, I just gave you like a vort from the Arizal, from the Ostrov Tzegoyim Rishayim, the Arizal, that says, Sur Mirav, Asay Tov. Before that, we don't know anything about Ephraim Menashe. What do we know about Ephraim Menashe? Why is it Ephraim Menashe? Should be like Ephraim Menashe. Why can't it be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why don't we do that? Why do we do like Ephraim Menashe? So, there's a beautiful pshat, which I think is perhaps the most instructive to us, and that is that there have been many brothers throughout history that we are aware of, many famous siblings. None of them have ever gotten along, starting with Cain and Hevel. They've never gotten along. Yishmael, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav, the Shvatim, no one's getting along. The first time we have two brothers that are able to get along is Ephraim and Menashe. And the bracha we give our children is that you should be able to live in harmony and peace. You should be able to get along. I suffer daily, daily from hearing from my dearest children in this yeshiva how the bachrim in the yeshiva are not their type. I am shocked that there could be 100 bachrim in yeshiva and each one of them thinks that the bachrim in the yeshiva are not their type. Like, I don't understand how they're like 100 different types of people and no one is their type. Everyone's telling me, they're not my type. He's not my type. He's not my type. But like, no one has the ability to connect anymore. We are so disconnected. And the challenge that we have is to reconnect. And until Klal Yisrael gets their act together, we're not going to be zoichet to Mashiach. We live in such a disconnected generation where everyone is like so isolated. Every person lives in his own little bubble, his own little fantasy world. And it's so difficult for me to like be able to like relate to someone other than myself because I'm so comfortable with who I am. We have to get out of our comfort zone. And over here, Ephraim and Asher, it was a very big challenge, by the way. Can you imagine standing there and your brother is given the upper hand, Ki'ilu, right here, Ephraim and Manasseh, his brothers, and there's no jealousy, there's no vengeance, there's no, vendetta, there's nothing. He's just happy for his brother, just happy. And all of us are different types, because all of us, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us different neshamas, and we have to try to, you know, be able to get along with each other and live in harmony. That's the bracha that Yaakov is giving. That's one pshat. Upon the pasuk continues, the pasuk says, "V'ani nasati l'cha shchem achar al achecha." I'm giving you one shchem above your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori b'charbi u'bekashti. With my sword and with my bow. Keshes is a bow. So Yaakov says, I have conquered Shechem with my sword and my bow. This is very, very strange. Because Yaakov Avinu was about to give scathing Musar to his children. His children being Shimon v'Levi Achim, Klei Chomas Mecheresayim. That Shimon and Levi, they, in their violent attack of Shechem, so they were, he's being critical of them. Of their, the way that they used Klei Chomas, they used weapons of war, of anger. And now Yaakov's saying, Shelakachti miyad ha'amori v'char bi u'bakashti, my sword and my bow. What does Rashi say? What does b'char bi u'bakashti mean? Rashi says, Hi chochmasi u'tfilasi, with my chochmas ha'toira and my tefillah. And Yaakov is saying, let me tell you what my weapons are. You want my cheriv is? My cheriv is my Torah. You know what my keshes is? My keshes is my tefillah. Charbi! I'm using my cheriv. You used Esav's cheriv. Klei chomas mecheresayim. You were using stolen weapons. You fight like Esav fights. I fight differently. Charbi is my Torah. My Torah is my weapon. My tefillah. These are the things that I fight with. That's the way that I overcame Shechem. The Brisker of Dachzach says there's a different remez here in the Pasuk. Becharbi u'bekashti says the following thing. When a person fights a physical enemy, so first you fight long distance combat. Right, first you're fighting from a distance, either with a sling, or with a cannon, or an arrow. Right, you're fighting them from a distance, and then as you approach each other, so an arrow is no longer relevant. An arrow is no longer useful. You have to drop your bow and arrow and start using your sword. So the first weapon that you would use would be a cheriv, would be a keshes, and then afterwards you would use a cheriv. So why is it that Yaakov says, "Shelakachti mi'ad ha'amori becharbi u'bekashti"? First, I fought with my cheriv, then I fought with my keshes. Says the Brisker Rav, because when a person is fighting a spiritual enemy, the first thing is you've got to get the Yetzer Hara out of yourself. So many of us are saying, you know, I like to do X, I like to listen to Y, I like this, and they actually, the Yetzer Hara is inside of them. And they're convinced that this is who they are. First, you've got to do, you know, close combat with your enemy. Get him out of you. Get him away from you. That realize that that is not who you are. The Yetzer Hara is trying to take over your body. Get him outside. And then a person has to deal with the enemy from without, the enemy from a distance, which is that even if I don't want to do these things, sometimes I succumb anyway to the enemy. Sometimes I fall. So therefore, Yaakov is saying, I'm fighting a spiritual battle. Bicharbi, first with my sword in my close combat, and then Bekashti with afterwards, which is the combat that happens from the distance. If you look in the Unkelus, he says a little differently. I'm not in a rush to go anywhere today, but anyway, guys, so it's like nothing to do anyway, so I'll just keep going. If anyone like is tired and wants to leave, you could. I won't take it personally. It won't go for that much longer. Let's see, what does it say over here? Bicharbi Bekashti, Unkelus says, Bitzalusi ubivausi. Bitzalusi ubivausi is with my davening and with my supplications. Davening. Two different types of davening. Bitzlausi ubivausi. So, I don't remember everyone's pshat and who says what, but I think that the pshat of the Hamak Dover is as follows. It says there's two different types of davening. There's one davening that every person can do. And then there's another type of davening. A person says, "Mikol mi sheyesh lo chodeh b'sech beisai, yelech etel chacham, v'yispalel ba'avuro." You have to go to a chacham, because there's certain types of tefillah that, you know, a chacham is a little bit more, he's more proficient in that type of tefillah. It's a tefillah that takes more kayach, it takes more expertise. There's two different types of tefillahs. There's the regular tefillahs, and then there's the tefillah that takes expertise. He says there's two different types of weapons. There's a sword, and there's a bow and arrow. A sword, basically, anyone can use. Some people better than others, but anyone can use the sword as a weapon. It is a weapon that is easy to learn. That's the regular tefillahs, the Shemoneh Esrei, the regular davening that we do every day. But then there's the keshes, which is the bow. Any of us that have ever tried to shoot a bow, as myself, I cannot do anything with a bow. I mean, aside the fact that it doesn't go very far, it never goes where I really want it to go, that's for sure. Right? So I would be, you know, would be totally useless for me to have a bow in war. Right? You need to be, a person has to be proficient in archery. It needs a pro. So those are two different types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah that we all daven, and then there's a tefillah that needs someone that knows the umnas. He knows the art of tefillah. And that's when you yoylechatz etel chacham, and he will be mispala. There's another idea, which is there's two different types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah, which is a tefillahs rishus. There's a tefillah, which is a tefillahs choyva. Every single one of us has to daven three times a day. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu told us that we have that obligation. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose us and said, this is your obligation. And then there's a tefillah, which is a tefillahs rishus, which is when we have our own requests. These are the things that we want to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's Merum is in the Tula Shoinis. Becharbi ubekashti. If you just read it a little with a different emphasis, you could read it Bochar bi bikashti. Bochar bi, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose me. Bochar bi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose me. I have to daven because that's part of my obligation as a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose me as a Yid. Bochar bi, to daven. But there's another type of tefillah, which is bikashti, which is my request, which is what I am asking. And that is my own personal supplication, which I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not necessarily part of the regular regiment of davening, but rather our own personal request that we make from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk says that Yaakov is giving brachas to his children. The pasuk says, "Vayikra Yaakov al bano vayomer heosfu vaygidol lachem es ashiyukra lachem eschem yachris hayom." And he starts giving a description to his children. Ruvein b'chori ata koichi vereishis oini. Yeser seis v'yeser oz pachas kamayim al toisar. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chomas mecheirasem. Then he goes to task, calls Shimon and Levi to task. B'soidam al tovay nafshi, in their secrets, my nefesh should not come. and in their communion should not, my honor should not reside. Ki ba'apam hargu ish, in their anger they have killed people. Ubertzoinam ikushar. Over apam ki az, cursed is their anger. Oof, this is intense. Very intense criticism of Shimon and Levi. And it begins with Klechomas Mecheresayim. Their weapons are stolen weapons. Klechomas literally means stolen weapons, which the way Rashi explains as follows. What does that mean? Umna zusha ratzicha chomas ubiyatchan. This type of behavior of killing people, you stole it from someone. Why? Rashi says, hold on a second. Me'esav hizu, umle shalohi, va'atem chamastem oisahimenu. This is Esav's stuff. This is not your stuff. Esav is a killer. The pasuk says, al char b'chotichya, by Esav. What are you doing, Shimon and Levi? It says, Ramatisio Salomon, unbelievable word. Rabbeisai, it's an unbelievable tape. I gave it away. I feel like I have charot, to be honest with you. I shouldn't have charot. I gave it away. Someone who was going through a very serious crisis, I gave them a tape of Ramatisio Salomon. I don't have it anymore, but it was an unbelievable shmooze that he gave. He said, what's Yaakov? What is he criticizing Shimon and Levi for? They just wiped out an entire city. They just annihilated. They killed an entire city. And what's he giving them criticism for? Not for the death of these people, but for the fact that they have used someone else's tools, someone else's weapons, someone else's response, which means you are not being yourself. You have to be yourself. So many people are walking around being someone else. So many people are walking around quoting other people, looking, trying to dress like other people, like talk like other people, walk like other people. They're not themselves. When a person is not himself, so then he's nothing. And the criticism of Shimon Levi, what Yaakov is saying, this is not you. You did this, you're copying Esav. A person's got to be himself. The main problem that there is with Facebook, amongst other things, and Facebook is a terrible thing, is no one is themselves. Everyone is looking, what's Facebook? I want to see what he's doing, what she's doing, what they're doing. You know, they did a study recently. The more people that are on Facebook, the more likely they are to be clinically depressed. Why are you depressed when you get on Facebook? This is a study. This is nothing Jewish at all. It's a regular Gaisha study. Because you see what everyone else is, and you're like, oh, he's got this, they've got that, this got that. Why do you have to be all busy all day with what he's got, what she's got, what they're doing? What do you have to do that for? Why can't you just be yourself? But every person has to know what they're doing. Oh, look where they went on vacation. Look what they got for Hanukkah presents. Look what they're doing. Look who they're friends with. Look what they're... That's what all Facebook is. It's just like... And people get depressed. If a person can just learn to be himself. And Shimon and Levi, they were the ones that brought about, from their Shvatim, the rebellion of Korach. Why did that happen? What was Korach? Was jealous. He was jealous. And Moshe said, look, Korach, you got so much going for you. You're great. Rav Lechem B'nai Levi. You're B'nai Levi. You're Noisei Aron. You're rich. You got so... You know, this is your tafkid. Why do you have to be jealous of someone else? Because I'm always looking at what he's doing. Where's he going? What he's up to. A person has to learn to look at himself and model his life after himself. That was the challenge or the flaw in Shimon and Levi. And what Yaakov is saying to them, you have to be individuals. The pasuk says, Yehuda, at yaducha achecha, yadcha ba'erif ayvecha, Yehuda, on the other hand, gets lots of praise. Yehuda will forever be the reigning king in Klal Yisrael. What's the difference between Yehuda And Reuven and Shimon and Levi, Shimon and Levi are getting criticism. The Pasuk says, last week's parasha, Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yosef is there. Kal Yisrael is in a moment of crisis. Binyamin is about to be taken as a slave. Everyone's in shock, stunned. And Yehuda steps forward. Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yehuda steps up. And Yehuda says, I've got to do something. I've got to say something. No one else is doing anything. Everyone else is just like in stunned. And Yehuda says, I have a responsibility to myself. Yehuda has his own moral compass. Yehuda was a leader. Yehuda was a person that wasn't just looking at other people. What are they doing? What do I have to do? Everyone else is coming late. Everyone else is not here. Everyone else is listening to this. Everyone else is doing that. That was Shimon and Levi's flaw, that they were stealing other people's behavior. Yehuda's the opposite. Well, Yosef Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda will be a king because he has the strength of character to do what he knows is right, to step up. Yigash Elov Yehuda means he stepped up. And that's what every Yid is asked to do. That's why we're all called Yehudis. We're all called Yidden. A Yid is Yehudi. We're all asked to step up. Just like the Ois Yud, it's elevated. It rises above all the other Oises. It's above everything else. A Yid is expected to step up. And even if there's other people around you that are not doing exactly what you think you're supposed to be doing, you have to have your own moral compass. Say, this is what I know I'm supposed to be doing. And I can live above everything around me. That's a Yehudi. Klal Yisrael's nimshalu to Shem and Zayas, compared to oil. Why are they compared to oil? Because oil floats above all other liquids. Oil rises above. We are always expected to rise above. And I want to tell you something. If you look in the news, it's always horrible. Whenever a Jew does something, it always gets terrible press. Why do Jews always get the worst press? Everything, you know, anything that happens and the Jews are like, you know, always being blamed. And the reason is clear. Because everyone knows, the entire world knows, that we expect more from the Jews. Everyone knows it. I was one time in a small motor vehicle accident. And the driver was a Yid. I was in the passenger seat. And the driver was not being 100% honest with what was happening. He really wasn't at fault, but he wasn't being 100% honest. And the Puerto Rican guy that was standing there and says, I expected more from a Jew. He was upset that he wasn't, I expected more from a Jew. What she's saying is, everyone expects more from Jews. They hold Jews to a whole different plane, a whole different level. And they're right. They're right to expect more from a Jew. We have to expect more from a Jew. We are Yehudis. We have to rise above everything else that's going on around us. Okay. I want to just share with you one last thought, which I think is extremely important. We've been speaking for a while, right? Yeah, speaking for a while. Pasuk speaks about Yisachar. Yisachar chamor gorem roivetz bein ha-mishpasayim. He's crouching the chamor. Yisachar chamor gorem is like a donkey. And we know this is like Yisachar is Klal Yisrael, is the learning. There's the people that learn. There's Yisachar and Zvulun. Zvulun are the people that work. And Yisachar is the people that learn. He's a chamor, which carries a lot on his shoulders. People that learn are carrying the ol of Torah. Vayar menucha kitoy v'esaret kineima v'eit shechma lispoy v'hi lemas oived. And there will be lemas, he will work lemas. Lemas is the words to the word, letters mem samach. Mas oived. And I believe it's Rabbi Gedalia Shor, if I'm not mistaken, says this beautiful pshat. Now, I think it's extremely important that you should know this. What is lemas oived? It's a remes. You know that the luchos were carved out. They weren't engraved. they were carved out, which means in the letter Anoichi, technically, a person could stick a pencil straight through the luchos inside. The letter of Anoichi was carved out. You could stick your finger right through, you'd get to the other side. It wasn't engraved. It was carved out. You could see through the luchos. Understand? It was like fully carved out. So the letter Aleph, letter Nun, letter Chaf, Yud was carved out. It was like a hole in the luchos. Anoichi through the entire Seres HaDibros. The Gemara asked the question, so how exactly did the letter Mem work? Or the letter Samach? If the letter Mem, Sophis, the letter Samach are circular, there should have to be like a piece of stone in the middle. Right? If it's carved out, what's holding up the middle part? Says the Gemara, Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hayoimdim. The Mem and the Samach and the Luchos, the middle part hovered miraculously. In other words, it wasn't connected to anything, and it was just hanging there. The Mem and the Samach of the Luchos. Says Rav Gedalia Shor, people are going to ask, how is Yisachar going to survive? You have so many people learning Torah, and the society cannot support itself, it can't sustain itself. And you know, I've been hearing this, I'm not that old, but as long as I've been around, and I'm pretty sure it's been before that. I mean, when Rabbi Aaron Cutler came to America, everyone was saying, you know, how could you build yeshivas? We need money for infrastructure, for shuls, for schools. What do you mean yeshivas? Koyel, are you crazy? People used to say that to Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Are you crazy? Koyel, how are we going to have koyel in America? We barely have enough money to survive, and we're going to build koyelim? It's not possible. Yeshivas they're never going to survive. Bnei Brak's not going to survive. Shalayim's not going to survive. No one's going to survive. Doesn't make any sense. And you know something? Yisachar is Limas Oyved. Mem Samach are the letters that miraculously they hung in the Luchas. So too, the yeshivas, the Olam HaYeshivas, will miraculously survive. It's a miracle. Doesn't make any sense? Doesn't have to make any sense. That's Torah. And Torah has survived throughout all the ages. Torah will continue to survive and will flourish. Will be zoicha bezrat Hashem v'karv to the gula shlema v'heira v'yameinu. Amen.